Chronic Blues. I thought it was very, very apropos, considering we have been suffering chronic blues for quite some time. And that was performed live at the Newport and Pacific Jazz Festival in 1966. I like going back to the 60s and even earlier, because it's a whole different approach to the music, and it is very political, although people wouldn't think so, but it's a very political time for music, because the music was informing and informed by the politics of the day. So, and people were constantly adding new dimensions to music, because the music itself occupied its own space. It wasn't just something that amplified other things that were going on. It was making a statement. And if you study the music of that era, and I hope you have a chance to do so, you see how extremely complex it is, and beautiful, and people making and designing and organizing their own musical statement within the context of a tune. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we come to each other today with one sad note at the top, and that is the death of David Dinkins, former mayor of the city of New York, at the age of 93. He followed his wife in death. She died in 1989. His wife's name was Joyce. And they had a long marriage, but both of them are now gone. David Dinkins, a very complex man, but came along in the heat of change in New York City, and was the first African American mayor we've had. I lived in New York at that time, and he made a good run, and he won. So that was an extraordinary feat that he achieved, and sorry to know that he is now gone, but he left a lot done. A lot was done. He won the confidence of the people, and he had a vision as well. Even though people thought he was a little too soft, too accommodating to the powers that be, but I still say he deserves kudos for what he had accomplished in a city that was really bordering on the brink of being out of control. So we remember him today. He beat the And this is a very interesting parallel. He's a quiet guy and a very contained man. But his rival was Ed Koch, who I liken it to Trump and Biden. The same kind of personality traits. And Ed Koch by then had been mayor for 3 terms already. And he was a very abrasive guy, very bold, very loud. You know, he was not meek and mild, that's for sure. He was quite a colorful mayor. But Dinkins was reserved in the style of the old Harlem gentleman. He was very, compared to Koch, anybody would be sedate, but Dinkins was sedate. So by the time he became the 106th mayor of the city of New York, he helped provide a contrast in conduct. How do you conduct yourself as a chief executive of a city? And it's not about being loud and obnoxious. It's about getting things done, doing things with great respect, showing great respect for the people, and also earning their respect, which he did. But okay, the main point I wanted to communicate was that he died. And best wishes to him. Now that he's reunited with his wife, Joyce, after all these years, and hopefully life will go on. But we must remember him. Okay, so in that spirit, we talk about what's going on now. We have Donald Trump finally showing some kind of sign. I don't know what it is. Frankly, you know, I'm turned off of Donald Trump. I really have absolutely zero interest in him anymore because, you know, as I said I've said it quite a few times, I've been talking about Donald Trump for 4 years. I've been talking about his mental instability. I've been talking about his compulsive lying, his outrageous behavior, his incompetence and that of his administration. I've been talking about this for 4 years. So I'm kind of done talking about him. I just want to see what's next as Biden takes the helm. But it appears that he, although it's not being said out in the open, but Trump has taken quite a trumping from people he knows and who had been moving away from him. They couldn't believe this guy was just so out of control. But they saw it finally in the court cases in which he was supposed to prove massive fraud, as he called it, and that was the reason he was entitled to recounts after recount after recount. But in fact, there was no massive fraud. There was just the fraudulent Trump and the people he pays to represent him. Where this goes, I don't know. Frankly, I'm just fed up with it because all said and done, lost in the sauce are the people. And the wide range of issues, and they're all urgent, in need of urgent attention. And instead, it's like we can't get enough of Donald Trump and his various maladies and complications. So he has signaled that, yes, Joe Biden should now, he's now permitting Joe Biden to proceed with putting his administration together. And people are, oh my God, isn't that great? They're so thankful that Donald Trump is exhibiting human traits, and not to mention legal obligations that he has to do these things. But this is where it is right now. Biden is getting his cabinet together and his administration together, and we will see what comes after that. And, you know, that is the attitude that we should take. Have no high hopes for anybody, because you will find out sooner or later that what they think the people need is not really what the people have been asking for all these years. It's what's in their mind and in the minds of their so-called advisors and friends and confidants. What the people need usually is way different from that. So we'll see whether Mr. Biden walks down that road, or whether indeed he has gotten the point about being elected to a national office at a time when this nation is so fractured, so besieged by all kinds of problems, and looking for sensible solutions and immediate solutions. It is reprehensible to me that Congress basically went on recess when you have millions of people worried about where their next meal will be coming from, or whether they will be paying their rent, or what is going to happen to their children and the school tuition. Congress just took off. Well, they're covered. They have their salaries. They know their checks are coming in. And so the assumption is, you do what you have to do. I'm going on vacation. I'm taking a break. I've suffered so much. This has been so pressing for me. We need some time to just kind of sit down and relax. Meanwhile, people are literally at the brink, and some already are close to jumping off because they see no immediate solution. This stimulus package that they've been talking about for a while now still has not materialized. And it doesn't seem to be a priority, because the folks in Congress know how they're going to pay their bills. They could care less, it seems, about how other people are living and the stresses that they're coping with in their everyday lives. This is the first thing that Joe Biden must pay attention to and solve. This is not a request. This is a demand. Maybe what they need to do is to go on tours, walk out into these communities and see what you see. And you tell me whether you could live like that. Tell me whether you could bear this kind of tension in your life. Because for no reason at all, a virus is spreading like crazy. It's shutting the economy down. Jobs are being lost. People are losing hope and direction. And you have no problem in taking off and just resting. You know, it's Thanksgiving. You're entitled, you know. We have to have turkey with the family. there is no sense of not just urgency. People are now at a point of super urgency that is needed to pay attention and solve these matters. And it really grinds my gears when the leadership of a country that it's at the center of all the information it could possibly need to make some fast moves. It acts like, you know, it's just another day in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I'm fed up with it, personally. Whatever this politics, how they describe it, this is American politics, I'm sick of it. And if Biden doesn't show from the word go that he does have different answers and he does have the energy to solve these problems, you know, he could go to Hades as far as I'm concerned. We need people now to respond to a national super emergency. And it's occurring at so many levels, affecting people in so many ways. I don't have to tell you that. You see it every day. You probably are experiencing it yourself. And this casual nature, you know, that people are taking this casual approach, well, we'll get to it. No, this is insulting the people. It's a disgrace. I hate it. And we ought to do something about it. We really ought to be agitated. And you have a right to be agitated. This is not the way. This is just so wrong on so many levels. And it is even more so that you have to work so hard to impress upon these folks who've been in Congress for so long and who supposedly have a leg up on understanding how government works or should work. And this is what's happening. Every day, millions of people are losing hope. They're losing their grip on life. And we don't hear about solutions. Instead, all of this energy directed at a person who is out of his mind. That's what he wanted, and that's what they gave him. Yeah, we are going to stop worrying about millions of people and try to see if we can reason with you. This is sick, beyond sick. All right. What is Biden going to do or say? How does he define what he sees as his immediate task of addressing the unfinished business with Trump? By the way, it was poetic justice to know that in losing, Trump became the epitome of the word that he likes to use to describe people he detests. That word is loser. He's a loser. And we should remind him of that as often as possible. He's a loser. Using his own definition, he became a loser when he earned that title. Anyway, what is Biden saying? And I don't think that people should be held waiting for any long period of time before we figure out some major things that are being done right now, solutions available right now. Getting people before they fall, before they collapse, before their families collapse. This is Biden's task. And I hope after all this waiting, He has the people ready to take their place in a leadership position to address these issues. 888-874-4888. I'd be interested in what you think the nation's unfinished business with Trump is, and how would Biden possibly address it? What do you think? 888-874-4888. I think we have to become more and more involved. We have to get more and more aware of our interests and who's taking care of them, who is responding to them, and who is not, and punish them. We're done with being nice and talking and whatnot and trying to negotiate. That's out the window. This is hard life, and we have to take ourselves and our interests seriously. Let's start with Tony from Orlando. Hello, Tony. You're on the air.
Hi, Dries. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just called up. Can you please repeat the question again?
What do you see as the unfinished business with Trump that Biden immediately must address?
Well, since it involves Trump, what Trump is doing in his last ditch effort to try to hold on to the little power that he has, what Trump is doing is completely discrediting the election process in the United States. I believe Biden, maybe not right away, but he's going to have to address the issue of our election process in America, because right now in this country, whether you're on the left or on you're on the right, there's a lot of people that fit in this Venn diagram square in the middle of the two political ideologues that believe in conspiracy theories. And we're in this heightened conspiracy theorist mentality in this country. And I think creating a panel to, basically revamp our electoral process in this country might help squash some of the doubt in our electoral process. As you well know, here in Florida, they went through a period in 2000 where they were embarrassed nationwide, and they revamped the electoral process here in Florida. And as you very well know, in Florida, you can vote 2 weeks early prior to an election. You can mail in a ballot without having a reason. You can vote as normal on election day. But in many, many states across this country, before COVID-19, you weren't able to do like mail-in ballot and things like that. So I think, revamping our electoral process and even not just in this 2020 election, but even in the 2016 election, I don't think President Trump created a panel to oversee our elections or to review our elections, given that there were many concerns that outside interference might have played a role. So I think, and basically strengthening our electoral process in this country might squash some of this conspiracy theory that, that Biden stole the election, because there's a lot of people, that voted for Trump. And for most of the people that I've come in contact with, they all believe that the election was stolen from him, which I find kind of crazy, but they believe it nonetheless.
Well, thank you for getting us started today and with such good ideas and suggestions. Thank you. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Yatrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. Good afternoon.
Personally, I don't think he's got to address anything with Trump. Trump is a dead issue. I mean, we've got to really get, we really got to pay attention. He, so far, his cabinet is like Obama, number, it's Obama part two. He's replaced, his chief of staff is an ex-lobbyist. His chief of, his chief of state was with him ever since the days of the Iraq conflict. He's building back the same thing, and we've got to check him now. I mean, Trump is a is an afterthought, and I don't even consider him. Like you, I'm done with him. I want to make sure that Biden is going to do what we voted him in there to do. He needs to access the CDC. He needs to declare a state of emergency. He needs to start handing out money to small businesses, to households. He needs to get a mortgage moratorium to stop foreclosures. These are the things that he's not talking about. We need national health care. We're in the middle of a health crisis, quote unquote, a second wave. And nobody's talking about national health care. He needs to use the bully pulpit. He needs to executive order. He needs to wave that pen around like Trump was doing to build a wall and to stop immigration. That's what I want to see from him. That's what he needs to do. It's time for dynamics. It ain't, all the rest of this nonsense, toss it out. He needs to take action. He needs to usurp Congress. He needs to usurp the Senate and do what do the mandate that he claims he got. That's what he needs to do.
Do you think he will do that?
No, I don't. Sorry to say, but that's what he needs to do. If I had any way to get in his ear or to get in his body, that's what he needs to do. That's the first from day one. I'm telling, look, I'm declaring a state of emergency. I'm giving out money. I'm using the Federal Reserve Bank as a mandate. I'm funding small businesses. I'm funding people. I'm putting a moratorium on foreclosures. I'm using Fannie Mae. I'm funding these mortgages. I'm getting people back to work. I'm going to look into some public works projects. I'm doing it. This is a state of an emergency. I've got the right. Look at the CDC mandate. Look at what's going on. Look how many people's dying. Every day you hear in the paper, 8,000. Use it. Well, what's your problem? Be dynamic. Even if this is your last term, go out and blaze the glory, man. Help the people. It's crazy.
No, I think that's what I and many other people and you too, we're waiting to see whether Biden is responding or will respond in accordance with the emergency that exists. We don't need other meetings and you know, we don't need confabs, as they used to call them. We need action right now.
That's it. He's got the bully pulpit. He's got the executive order. He can access the Federal Reserve Bank and use that as a mandate. He can access the CDC and use that as a mandate. I don't care. You know, I mean, if you're going to use it, we've had a guy for 4 years who used it for nothing. Use it for something. Make me wrong, please.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for calling in today. 888-874-4888. Brad from Long Island, you're on the air. What do you think? What are you waiting for? What is your signal? What signal are you waiting for from Biden that he's getting down to business right now and dealing with these pressing issues?
It's my opinion that Biden hasn't said anything or done anything original the entire time he was in office that's of any value. And I'm not against Joe Biden, and I'm not for Donald Trump. But I also don't think he's broken any ground at all or said some of the things that needed to be said in the debate. And they're limited in what they can say or agree to say, which is ridiculous. But he did agree to that nonsense. And I think it's a shame and a scam.
What nonsense did he agree to?
Pandemic that we're all involved with, every single one of us on this show and everywhere else, have had some kind of effect today in our day today. What is it, 11/24/2020 of this COVID nonsense?
I think they should tune in to Gary Noll tonight at 7 o'clock, the Progressive Commentary Hour, once a week with attorney Danny Sheehan, about this COVID farce and the legalities of it. But I don't want to distract from the Utrecht lead show. This is your show, and Biden is not the guy. I don't even think he's fit for office. Medically, physically.
What would cause you to change your mind about that? In terms of any action that Biden would take, what would that action be?
Biden, I looked at the front of today's paper. He's talking about bringing in John Kerry. That's just the old boy network people, a list of people that didn't get enough done and didn't do the right progressive stuff. There's no progressive in those people. It's old crimes and old George Bush type of mentality and old boy network. We're not going to make any improvements around here. We're going to be stuck in the same mold, same mold. So you're asking me what he could do or should do? Progressive things. I think he should. Again, I think Gary mentioned, but I don't know if you mentioned he should address the student loan situation. For example, if you have a student loan and they assess your figures wrongly or put interest on it wrongly or charges wrongly, every single notification you get in the mail or any other form of notification is illegal and mail fraud, probably over state lines, saying that you owe a figure the higher than you owe. So that's just simple math. I'm not a banker, but I'm not paying anywhere near what they're saying I need to pay, ever. And I'm a heart patient, so I just sit around and waiting for the ticker to, you know, do whatever it's going to do. Biden's talking about addressing that student loan. Will he even do it? Okay, Utrecht, I think I covered enough, and I want to leave room for others and you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. Thank you, Brad. Vincent from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrecht. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
If you speak directly into the phone, we'll hear you a lot better.
Okay. I was just wondering when we as a nation will stop worrying about who's going to be elected 4 years prior and start addressing the real problem, which is the Electoral College. So we can get a third and fourth party in there. This two-party duopoly is the problem, the big problem. It's every 4 years we're worried about the best candidate. Why not worry and be concerned about everybody's vote counting? Go back to paper ballots, get off of these computers, and then we might have a chance of having every vote count. And maybe even a chance of a third-party candidate like Jesse Ventura, perhaps.
But some people say that it also creates more work, and it will slow the process of counting votes down significantly.
Well, I mean, everyone is afraid of the hard work. That's the problem. Everybody wants everything to be easy. The same with spirituality, the same with religion. Everywhere you go, everybody wants the easy way out. And that's half the problem.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. It is still a legitimate question. If the technology exists, and that's why it was created, to speed up the process and make it more efficient, why would you now say that we need to go back to the old way so we could slow things down? It will take a week or two.
Well, that's okay. It's better than having it hacked by an 11th grader. Those machines can be hacked by just about anyone.
All right. So, okay, what are you looking for as a sign that Joe Biden is getting down to brass tacks soon and he's serious about it?
Well, I would think that he's not going to do anything in particular which is special to anyone but his constituents. Anything that he promised, he will compromise. He will compromise on everything he did because that's what politics is about, compromise.
You're not at all hopeful.
No, I think sometimes, yes, at this point, Eutrice, I can't stand the incredulity of everyone. Why wouldn't he do this and why wouldn't he do that? He's been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations for many years. We know that they're only out for themselves and empire. And that's the way I feel about it.
Okay. Fair. I had to ask. Thank you so much for contributing today, Vincent. 888-874-4888. There's a lot that has been left undone, must be done right now. What do you think that the president, the newly elected president of the United States, Joe Biden, what should he be doing as top priority items? What should he be tackling? The minute he gets to work and opens the door, what is everybody's marching orders supposed to be? 888-874-4888. We're not used to making demands, you see. And it's at times like this you find that people don't know what they want. They just want something done, whatever that is. It's a nebulous request. We had some exceptions to that rule today so far, where people are itemizing specifically what they would be happy to see as an indication that Biden is breaking the mold or that he is serious about addressing these pressing needs of people. I'm still stuck with the outrageous behavior of Congress leaving and going away, whatever it is. They should have stayed there until it was time if they felt they needed to go home. But I thought they said cancel Thanksgiving this year. I thought they were serious about that when they said it, that they would stay there even through Thanksgiving and concentrate on the most urgent cases so that come Friday, there are some answers waiting for the people of the United States. But this is not the way to run it, I don't think. You need a definitive break with the way things have been done in the past, because Lord knows it gave us a lot of misery. And that's what we're dealing with today. Misery in almost every sphere of life. How do we get this administration up and running and in tune with what people are looking toward this administration to do right now? Not next week, not next month or next year, but right this minute. There are certain things that could be done right now. Do you have any ideas about things that could be done right now to indicate this is a can-do administration and it intends to do the right thing? 888-874-4888. I hate this time. It's usually at around, election time. It's as if the people have to beg and jostle for attention and hope and pray that they get one little crumb and they'll be thankful for that. I think we should put an end to that. Don't you think? It's time to say we're entitled to this. This is why so many other administrations were elected and they did a lousy job. They were not consistent. They did not stay with the needs of the people. And so it is appalling, in my view, that in this country, you have people who still don't eat every day. You have children who don't eat every day. The elderly don't eat every day. And why do we accept this? Why do we accept this? Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you three. Hope all is well. Listen, let's be honest. Politicians don't care about their constituents. If they did, you would look at their communities and their communities would be in better shape than they are now. You would have members talking about the suffering of their constituencies instead of talking about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is gone. He's out of here. The question now becomes, what are they going to do in regards to what you're talking about? The homelessness crisis that's about to escalate in every major city? The employment crisis that's about to escalate basically in every major city? The food shortage that's happening right now in most major cities? The children that are not learning and things of that nature? These are not things that, if we're going to be honest about, that Biden is going to really address. He's going to probably address what he deems to be the most important thing, which is the coronavirus. But all of the things that go along with the coronavirus is not going to get the necessary attention that it deserves. So in the process, people are going to continuously suffer. Think about it. If he gets in the office in January and come February or March, they decide they're going to give you $1,200. How is that going to really help families based upon the fact that this will be $1,200 that they've received over what, maybe the last 9 months? Is he going to improve the unemployment? Is he going to deal with the housing crisis, put forward the forbearance of no evictions? I mean, these are just basic things that he may do. There's no guarantee that Mitch McConnell will allow him to do. If you give me $1,200 a day, for this period of time in 2 or 3 months, after that $1,200, what better position am I going to be in? Because that $1,200 is going to do what? To try and feed my family and to try and maybe pay a month's rent to keep me from being evicted? But the reality is you're so far behind that $1,200 is not going to catch you up. So, I mean, there's going to have to be so many more things in play with whatever he do to try to help everyday people, that it's just gonna be a continuous quagmire of a cycle of people hurting and hurting and hurting until, let's say, he makes a decision where, as the United States, are gonna give every family that is unemployed at this time $2,500 for the next 6 to 12 months. Now, if he did something like that, not only would it help families, but it would stimulate the economy, because most of the people are going to have to take that money and put it back into the economy, which would only help with the growth of the economy. But to give somebody $1,200, and then because of the politics in play, they may not see another $1,200, which they're definitely going to need, for another 8 months or maybe longer, based on what has just happened. How does that improve the position of the country?
Well, what are you prepared to do about it?
I'm not prepared, to be honest, to do anything other than maybe speak to my representative. That's all I can do. I'm not going out in the street picketing and marching and all of that. Nah, I did that 30 years ago. I ain't got time for that nonsense. That ain't even in the equation. Will I call my congressman like I have been doing? Have I been calling my senator Once a month, I've been calling Jen and Brand and Schumer, you know, calling my congressman. Oh, yeah, I'll continue to do that. But, hey, man, the reality is we live in a society where nothing is really in place to help everyday people, and they're not going to do anything to help everyday people. So we're heading for an extremely vicious, vicious cycle. Oh, and one thing, right. I like to pay homage to David Dinkins. You know, it goes to show you what love is, in a sense, man. He was with his queen for all of those years. And I guess, you know, in a sense, maybe life didn't mean as much to him now that she was no longer here. So it's a beautiful thing when you find that type of love to be with somebody for that long of a period of time. And, you know, unfortunately, when after all of that time, one leaves the other one usually has a hard time continuing. It's a beautiful thing. Like I always say, if you want to understand love, listen to the song All I Do by Stevie Wonder. Probably the greatest love song there ever was in understanding how two people should feel about one another. Have a beautiful
all
day.
Right. You thank three. You. Thanks for your call and thanks for your input today. We're still looking for some ideas from you as to what you would be looking for as some kind of indication that Biden is actually paying attention to the needs of people. And I know he's just going to be in there. He's not going to be doing anything concrete until the green light is lit. But what should the priorities be based on what you know, based on what you see, and based on what you have been experiencing? What should be the priorities of this administration the minute he officially takes office? Do you have any idea? And why would you suggest these things, these particular things that you may float with us today? Why would you make these suggestions? Jay just gave us an idea that, you know, there's got to be some kind of aid, financial aid. People literally are on the brink of disaster. And we get people talking about it all the time, but we're not seeing it. I referred just last week to a photograph that I saw of traffic both ways on a highway in Texas at a standstill because people apparently had been moving so slowly. And you would think that it was, the story there was a massive traffic accident or some major disaster. But it was about people showing up for food to feed their families. It brought tears to my eyes. You should say, this can't be right. This isn't true. But I'm telling you, more than 1,000 cars each way, according to the report. But people were lined up for food. G from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Chief Lees, I hope you're doing well. You have a lovely voice, and I just wonder if you ever sing, because you have a very nice voice.
Once upon a time, I used to sing.
Oh, okay. I appreciate the jazz. Quiet. I appreciate the jazz that you give us. You're asking what would I like to see Mr. Biden do right away? What would be a good sign, right?
Hello, Jean.
Well, I would say, if he could, I guess, rejoin the Paris Peace Accords. If he could re-put into place the, what do you call that, if he could reduce the credit card rate, interest rate, so that would be a way of decreasing the debt. If he could also the student debt. And the main thing would be I think other people have mentioned it, if he could give people the relief from mortgage and their rent, and also the, when businesses can do what they want to do, and you put a stop on that. And Mr. Trump has allowed a lot of mining, a lot of all kinds of things to go on. A lot of pollution is going to be back in circulation. So we need Mr. Biden to start putting regulations back on so the industry does not have the ability to just put in any kind of action to just make a profit. I guess we need something similar to the kind of actions or the type of attitude that FDR probably had. The country is in such a bad situation. I mean, just on my way in today, I saw a long line of people. I saw several long lines of people, and my guess is that it was for food.
Isn't that sad to see?
Yeah, I mean, longer than what I remember growing up, and there was long lines for food when I was growing up. And I know my relatives had talked about long lines of food for food and hardships when they were growing up.
Well, we'll see. All we can do and what we ought to do is to keep the pressure on and advocate for ourselves and others that government must be far more responsive and on a matter of, on a basis of urgency, really, because everything we're talking about is urgent, urgently needed. Thanks, G, for calling in. 888-874-4888. I have room for one more call. That could be you if you're calling in at 888-874-4888. I'm really upset that this is where the United States is. And it's not just about coronavirus. Like any major disease, countries succumb to from time to time, you have to adjust. But compounding the problem are all these other things that have been allowed to fester, that were not paid attention to, that the focus was elsewhere rather than on the basic needs of people, which now are at an emergency level and immediate level. And we still see people pretending that they can't figure it out. They don't know what is happening. And it's the evidence is looking right back at us into our eyes that this is the reality that we're living every day. Never mind what you used to do 10 years ago, this is the reality today. And government has to respond appropriately. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. I thank you all, Tony, Ed, Brad, Vincent, Jay, G. Thank you all for calling in and contributing. We'll talk again. Let's do that. Bye-bye.